When loathed landholder Fred O'Donnell is found dead in a locked room with a bullet in his chest, rookie detective Hartley must seek help from a mysterious wanderer to solve the case. And it's one where everyone, including O'Donnell's family, has a motive and a secret to keep. Featuring the mendicant monk from Alexander Thorpe's previous novel, Death Leaves the Station, readers will be... No, let's leave it there because I don't want to give away too many clues. And I am keen to chat with local writer Alexander Thorpe. G'day, Alex.
Hello, how are you doing?
No spoilers allowed. So how on earth do you talk about the mystery without giving away clues?
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm struggling with that, a lot, including right now. I suppose you talk about the maybe how the murder was committed or what the actual central hook. There's always the sort of this one being that it's a locked room mystery. So someone's killed in a locked room. How did the murderer get in or get out? Or so I guess it's about trying to provoke the interest without without giving any spoilers.
It is set in the late 1920s, but it could easily be the 2020s with some of the topics you cover. There's the so-called Spanish influenza pandemic. There's issues of sexuality, spirituality, ambition, work, money. You must have had a lot of fun writing this.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a big part of writing a historical novel is realizing how much, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm not the first person, I think, to point out a lot of similarities between the 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of, growing inequality, and a lot of discourse around gender stuff, which is really interesting. When I was looking into the book, there was a lot of, especially in Germany in that time, that was really when people started to talk about variations in the gender spectrum and all that kind of stuff. And we often don't hear about that now, it being that long ago, but it was big.
What was the kernel of the idea that sparked Death Holds the Key for you?
I guess it's similar to the first one that I did, Death Leaves the Station. The goal from the start was just to make a cozy crime book. Like, I'm obsessed with that stuff. I love Agatha Christie and Arthur Conan Doyle and all of the old sort of, classic cozy crime stuff because I love that structure. And I love, just the feeling of sort of having that mystery revealed to you. I never guess them. I'm never one of the people who sort of like gets to the end and goes, I called it. Like, I'm always like, huh, okay, I didn't see that coming. Because I don't really try. I just like the ride, I suppose.
And I think cozy crime, some folks might look on it disparagingly, but it is cozy because it is a great comfort, isn't it?
It is. And I think, one of the comfortable things about it is that you kind of know what's going to happen and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen in the sense that you don't know the exact kind of twist. So that's the kind of center of the puzzle. But you also know, broadly, as you go on, there's going to be clues gradually revealed. There's going to be red herrings. There's going to be probably a scene where all the suspects are in the same room together at the end, So you have that. Yeah, it's really comforting to have that common kind of, I think it's probably a similar way that people often go back to big franchises like Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. They're like, I kind of know what to expect from this. Mm-hmm. I know what's going to be in there and what's not. It's kind of the same thing with cozy crime.
But you've got a modern twist, really.
Maybe. I'm never sure how much, people sort of go, what's different about your cozy books or your whodunits or whatever? And, honestly, I tend to say nothing. Like, there's, I'm not doing anything that hasn't been done before, but it's probably, everyone's got their own voice. So it's going to be, it's in WA, which is different. It does have a kind of a modern view on a period setting, which is different, I suppose, to the books that were actually written at the time. Yeah, so there'll always be things that are unique about it. But broadly, it's not reinventing the wheel, definitely.
No, we don't need to. The wheel works well. I'm just going to read a little from Death Holds the Key because I think it captures so much of what I really enjoyed about it. So a character suggests to two of the main characters, why not bunk down at the new hotel in Kalamunda?
He does.
Yeah.
That's true.
Why not bunk down at the new hotel in Kalamunda, offered Gabriels, in an easy manner reflective of long years spent interfering in the affairs of others. I think that's a great line. Supposed to be quite good, only been open for a few months. You could be there in under an hour, put your feet up by the fire and enjoy a decent meal. Then you'll be nice and fresh come morning and already halfway out to the sanatorium. You make a convincing argument, said Hartley. The solicitor grinned. Something of a prerequisite in my line of work. Hartley looked to the friar, receiving an enthusiastic nod. I suppose that settled them. We head for the hills. Now, why they're going to the hills, why there are friars and solicitors and other characters, you'll have to discover for yourself. Tell me about the names of the characters, because that must be, I don't know, part of the pleasure of writing. Fred O'Donnell is a bloody brilliant name, just quietly.
I don't know. I don't think anyone's noticed yet, but all of the surnames are all people who played in The Cure.
No, no, I didn't notice that at all.
Because they've had so many like lineups over the years that like every single surname is like a bassist in The Cure or like, you know, someone who played drums on one album or something.
Great.
Because I just needed a lot of Anglo, needed a lot of white people's surnames. The first book I did, I just used all my, not all, but a lot of my my friends' surnames. And so, you know, it was pretty fun. I was like, you're getting killed. You're, you know, you're helping solve the murder. You're just a sort of random bystander. But I'd already done that for the second book. So I needed, you know, it being the 1920s, I needed a lot of Anglo-sounding names. Anyway, they're all the surnames are taken from members of The Cure or people who've played with The Cure over the years, because that's my favourite band. And they've had, you know, like 100 members or something, because Robert Smith just keeps on cycling through. So I basically just have my list of members of The Cure open, and I've got, Gallup and Hartley are both bassists, previous bassists of The Cure, and Gabriel's is a guitarist. So, yeah, they're
great.
A big resource of white people names there.
Well, I miss that, but that is a lovely touch. Do you listen to music while you write?
I can't listen to music while I write. That's not true. I can't listen to music that, you know, with lyrics mm-hmm. that I can understand. I get distracted, so I'll either listen to nothing or instrumental stuff. You know, listen to some instrumental kind of dance stuff or music in a language that I don't understand. I love, you know, like I'll have some sort of some Russian punk or something on in the background because I can't understand it.
Great.
It won't distract me.
I can understand that. I've listened to some Japanese acid folk myself this morning. Are you writing another? I know I'm greedy. I've already finished Death Holds the Key, so I want another one.
I've got another one, you know, in the works, but mm-hmm. I haven't actually started writing. So what I do basically, because it is historical, you know, stuff as well, I do try and keep it pretty accurate. So I just do a lot of research beforehand. So for each of the books I've done, I have, you know, a few months where I just do a massive deep dive. I read heaps of the newspapers from that year on Trove, the National Library sort of, you know, archive.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through all these Wikipedia articles and I build up, you know, all these hundreds of pages of just like copied and pasted notes, basically. You're like, oh, this was happening in the news at the time. This person was elected. This, you know, is what was happening in the background. And then I kind of work my plot into that because I have, you know, I start from the end. I think most crime writers do that. They start at the end with the sort of murder because that's the kind of the kernel, you know, that's the main idea of the book. And then you work backwards, you know, who would do this? How did it happen, et cetera. And so, yeah, I'm in that stage. I've got all this, you know, copied and pasted scraps of newspaper articles and everything ready to go, but I haven't actually got much of a draft happening yet. How it starts and it ends.
It's a rich period of history, and in Western Australia, there are many of us who don't know much about it, so we look forward to reading more local historical fiction with a freshness about it. Thanks so much for chatting with us, Alexander.
Thank you. Thank you very much.